start up the Education Subcommittee in the full Ways and Means again, and we were working on it, and Steve?
Okay.
Just the two memos we got this morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I've distributed for you one other item, which is on yellow paper. What this item is it's the same memo of recommendations that I distributed earlier, but I've expanded some descriptions for things that you hadn't gotten to yet. The things that you already voted on, I didn't make any changes, but the remaining items, I wanted to use the benefit of the break to give a little more information, and also to frankly add a couple of things that I had forgotten to recommendations. So you have, even looking at the yellow sheet, you have approved items 1, 2, 3. We've approved what we called 5A, which is the paragraph that's not numbered, the second to the last paragraph on page 2. And then you approved item 6.
Could you do that again, Steve? I'm sorry.
Sure. You voted, you adopted item 1.
Recommended
number 1.
Right.
Number 2, with the associated budget note language.
Right.
Number 3, with its associated budget note language.
Mm-hmm.
And then, skipping down, you see number 5 there. The paragraph after 5 that remains unnumbered,
right,
which sort of referred to as 5A, you adopted that. You adopted 6. And that's when you
adopt the other paragraph in 5?
No, sir, you've not.
Okay.
And I'd like to sort of discuss a number of these remaining items, but in order to do that, it would be helpful if you could look over at this blue sheet, this blue diagram that I prepared, which is basically describing what the LFO recommendation is for the education in general program of higher ed.
Here's an extra.
For the education in general program, looking at the cuts that were in the governor's budget and what LFO recommends relating to those particular cuts. I'd ask you to look at the left-hand stack there, where there's a box separated out that talks about cuts recommended for restoration. All of these items are general fund reductions that are in the governor's original recommended budget as it was submitted at the beginning of session. There is a cut of $25.2 million, basically in the per student cell values, the support per student. There's a cut there of $25.2 million. There's a cut in funding for support of research programs at the 7 institutions of $10 million. There's a cut of $6 million for various campus public service programs. The campuses all have some of these public service programs, some that come immediately to mind to me as I'm sitting here. The Portland State University has the Center for Population and Statistics. University of Oregon has the Labor Education Research Center, LERC. There are a number of these public service programs that received a $6 million cut in the governor's proposed budget. There was also a cut, these are in order of decreasing size, there was also a cut for personal services, that's to say payments for salaries, of $5 million. A cut of $2.8 million in funding for the veterinary medicine and pharmacy programs at Oregon State University. There was a $2.8 million reduction in funding for collaborative programs. Generally, these would be between OUS institutions and community colleges or OHSU. There was a cut of $2.5 million in funding for non-resident master's students, that's to say the governor's budget cut funds that institutions would receive when they, general fund, when they enrolled a master's student from out of state. Also, there was funding for internships. Combined, that was a $2.5 million cut. There was an elimination in funding for enrollment reserves. These are reserves that are held in case enrollment is higher than is anticipated at the start of the biennium, and in case, and also held if there are unforeseen emergencies that need to be met at a campus level, of $2.1 million. There was a cut in $4.6 million for services and supplies. There was the elimination of the Campus Performance Award program, which was an elimination of $2 million. This is a program that provides monetary awards to campuses to meet performance targets. And there was a cut in centralized services of This doesn't have some of the, for some reason part of this didn't get printed on here. There's a cut of more than $2 million. There was a cut of actually $5.5 million to centralized services, of which we are recommending restoring $2 million of them, so not restoring the whole thing. In short, LFO is recommending that you restore all of these cuts, and if you add them up, they total $65 million. And the way we believe that these cuts can be restored, we believe there is money available in this budget to do that, and that is from three sources you see on the right-hand side. The co-chairs have included a $31.3 million general fund enhancement over the level in the governor's original recommended budget. And we would recommend using those funds to help avoid these cuts in services for the higher ed system. The governor also included in his recommended, or I shouldn't say also included, the governor included in his recommended budget $17 million for enrollment growth. LFO is recommending that you approve the funding of $17 million, but that instead of using it for enrollment growth, that you direct half of those funds, $8.5 million, toward restoring these cuts that are in the governor's budget. And finally, the governor included an additional $25.2 million in tuition revenue that would result from increasing tuitions by 4% each of the 2 years of the biennium. These are additional monies that higher ed institutions would collect because of the increase in tuition rates. If you combine these three sources together, you have the $65 million needed to offset those cuts. What I show below the bar there, you see it says total cuts restored, that horizontal bar of $65 million. What I show below that is some remaining funds that are available under the LFO recommended budget. And how they could potentially be used. There is the other half of the $17 million that was in the governor's budget for enrollment growth purposes. The remaining 8.5, LFO recommends that be distributed to the Oregon University system, basically for distribution through the cell value, the per student funding, to campuses, so that campuses will have additional funds available to meet costs and to enhance programs. The part of this entire chart that I think is most difficult to explain and understand is the one in the very bottom right, where it says tuition and fees generated from enrollment growth, $26.9 million. What that number represents is, and of course recall, that all LFO recommendations are based on the original governor's budget, as it is submitted to you and as it is written into the bill, House Bill 5524. The amount of tuition dollars that are in that bill, that's to say the amount of tuition dollars that higher ed is allowed to spend in that bill, is much less than they will actually receive or are projected to receive if they have a 4% increase in tuition in each of the 2 years of the biennium. The number is just wrong. And the reason why it is not correct is it does not, there's no adjustment in that number for the additional enrollments that the university system is expecting in the next 2 years. Enrollments are projected to continue growing. As you know, they are now at levels that are record levels, and they're expected to continue to increase. Because more students will be coming in, and they're all paying tuition, we are estimating that the 4 plus 4% tuition increase would actually bring in a total of $29.4 million. That's not the number you see there. I'm just saying this. That would bring in $29.4 million above the 25.2 that is actually already in the governor's budget. In other words, it would bring in closer to $55 million. What LFO is recommending is the following. We are recommending that you provide a big enough other funds limitation increase to not support the full $29.4 million that I mentioned, but instead to increase it by the $26.9 million in this chart. What the $26.9 million reflects is how much limitation the system will need to spend the tuitions that will be generated if there is a 4% increase the first year of the biennium and then a 3% increase the second year. We are recommending that you do not provide the system with the full amount for a 4 plus 4. Because we believe, well, we do understand, of course, the subcommittee's concern of the impact of rising tuitions on students' abilities to attend the system. This is not a very large change from what the governor originally proposed, but LFO believes that this is affordable and that the system will have sufficient funds to meet its costs and also would have $35.4 million when you combine the remaining $8.5 million in enrollment growth funds for what we're calling program enhancements. I do want to note that enhancements, because we're using this in the budgetary sense, probably doesn't mean what most people think of the word enhancements to mean. It doesn't mean they can have $35.4 million necessarily to establish a new program in this and a new program in that. It's defined as a funding above the current service level amount. What these funds will be used for, in addition to establishing some new programs, they'll be used to meet costs that result from enrollment growth. You know, as you serve more students, you have higher costs, you need more instructors, more faculty, and more support staff. And also will help support inflation-related costs that exceed the current service level amount in the governor's budget. For example, you did hear specifically about how energy costs are rising so rapidly and how it's very difficult on OUS that has such a large capital stock. There's so many buildings that need to be heated and lighted and cooled. This $35.4 million will be available to help meet those costs as well.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Droff, this money is not inclusive of enhancements that we've already put into the engineering program and into the extension, the Bend campus, and so forth.
That's correct. These are additional.
Additional.
Question.
Follow up.
Yeah, no, I'm fine.
Okay. Representative Schrader, and then.
Two comments, if I may. One is, I think it's also important to note that we also approved a small school adjustment of $8 million.
Yeah.
It also helps, I think, a lot for the OUS system. And, you know, so I would include that on this page, so to speak. And then a question of LFO, then, if I am to understand right, if you're recommending a 4% and 3%, that would leave about $2.5 million to buy down some of the tuition increase. Is that your...
That's correct.
That's good.
That's assuming that doesn't, the 4 and 3 doesn't do, or no, 4 and 4 did 29.4.
Right, and we are, we would recommend, that is an option to this committee to approve the full 4 and 4. We would recommend approving a 4% and a 3%, which generates 26.9.
In doing that, we do not affect 25.2 that we've already put into restoring the cuts, right?
That's correct.
That stays constant.
Comes from the first 4%.
Yeah,
Representative Smith?
Our 4 and 4% increase, or 4 and 3, whichever we approve, have we made an additional contribution for the Student Scholarship Commission to help them cover some of these costs? Steve? I know we're not looking at that budget now, but I'm concerned about this tuition increase because I believe we raised fees on students campus-wide already on their building fees or something. I can't remember what it was. So we raised fees there for them, and we raised fees now. And with the increased electricity costs, we've got some pretty good hikes for some of these students. A lot of them, as I remember, you know, as I remember in school, I barely was able to. I went, but I certainly wasn't rich. So how's our scholarship budget looking in relation to this, our NEED grant and all that?
Representative
Shreve? Well, folks can correct me, but I believe the co-chair's exit budget puts some additional money, resource, another $5 million into the scholarship budget.
What does $5 million equal as far as an increase in tuition, percentage-wise?
Oh.
So if we're given $5 million, does that really knock tuition down to maybe $2 million? I understand not every student that goes to college is a scholarship, you know, or NEED grant or basic grant, whatever. But those students would not be affected by the tuition increase. I mean, the richer student won't be as adversely affected as the student who really needs the grant to go to school. What I'm saying is I'm disappointed that our tuition increase is so high, because last time I talked to somebody, word in the building was maybe just 2%.
Just a comment. I mean, I share Representative Smith's concerns, and we are at the end of session. It's sometimes tough to get all the way where you'd like to be, and there's, you know, still the reconciliation bill, frankly, at the end. We're going to have to get all the numbers and all the revenue sources to match up. I do like the idea of kind of doing a little bit of both. The proportions may not be exactly what I originally thought, but I did some need grants, some of the tuition.
Yeah, I said, and I've said this on record, you know, a partial tuition increase isn't, I would not be opposed to, but this is 95%. I mean, this is almost full bore tuition increase. Okay. And then I heard on the radio coming in this morning, Washington State raised their tuition increases 13%. Is that what I heard? I don't know about. Drove off the road. I should turn off my radio. So I guess we're not as bad as they are, but I also know Washington State has more money for scholarships than Oregon does. So it's just a concern that I have. I think we need to be very mindful of who we're serving. You know, we get real callous because here we're looking at number, we're going to take 29.4 million down to 26.9 million. And we work with so many zeros and zeros and zeros. But, you know, the students out there, $500 makes a difference.
True. Representative Winters?
I just want to say, you know, I think we're all mindful, and if there was a way that we didn't have to have a tuition increase, I think we would have gone there. I know last session we really worked really diligently to make sure that the tuition was, that we froze tuition last session, and then we came back in the building this session, recognizing that in order to be able to move forward with our higher ed budgets and what have you, that it does necessitate some tuition freeze. I mean, some tuition hikes. I like the 4 and 3. I think that it gives us a little cushion. I don't think any of us like to say that we want to have an increase at all. But the budgetary facts are that it's the reality of where we are when we're dealing with the dollars within side of this building, that you know, you look at the aspect that when we came into the building, we had cuts totaling $65 million, and we're now sitting here talking about a restoration plan of restoring $65 million with some enhancements. So even though I would like to have come back this session and say we could have continued our freeze, the reality is that we couldn't.
Thank you.
Yes, Senator Chair. I think this is certainly an improvement over what it seemed to be going to be, the 4 and 4. The 4 and 3 is much better, and having some money to put into the scholarship fund should allow more students to be covered by that fund, or a slight increase in the amount of money that comes in that grant to low-income students. So I think it's better than it had been, but I'd like to see it better.
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As long as we're weighing in on the budget outlook and so forth, I cannot go along with this tuition increase. And I realize if you just confine yourself to this particular budget area, you'd say, wow, we're strapped for cash. But we aren't confined to just this particular budget area. We pried loose $106 million about 2 weeks ago, and obviously that could have been available to prevent this tuition increase. We also are going to fiddle away about $60 million on a child's plan that, you know, is at least $20 million of repackaging expense that could have gone into this budget to prevent a tuition increase that probably, even though they don't categorize themselves as children anymore, would have been darn beneficial for the people of this state. So, you know, I don't feel like we are at all constrained on the spending side. Maybe we haven't plowed it into the appropriate budgets. Thank you, Mr. President.
Yeah, thank you, Senator Miller. I would remind you that of that $106 million that you spoke of, $101 million of that is in the OHSU budget. It was appropriated.
Oregon Health.
Science University. So, you know, you wondered where that 106 went. That's where it went.
Well, I'm also mindful of the $12.5 billion we had to play with prior to that decision.
Granted. Steve, the bottom box on the right, tuition and fees. What kind of fees are generated? I want to make sure we don't get confused with student fees on buildings and whatnot. What kind of fees are these?
These fees are fees that are combined with tuition at university-level budgets to support the basic education program and include what are known as resource fees. There's a technique. For example, all students at OUS institutions pay technology fees, which supports the computer systems, computer labs, internet access on their campuses. And then students pay varying resource fees depending on particular programs they are in. So if you're in a particular program, there may be costs in addition to the regular tuition for being in that program or for particular courses in that program. Those are the tuition and fees that this refers to.
Yes, Representative Schrader.
Being mindful of Representative Smith's and Senator Miller's concerns, I note that other budget notes and budget statements and include references to fee remissions. And I point out for the subcommittee's consideration that as we get to that there are some $60 million in fee remissions out there that come out of student tuitions. Students that pay tuition, apparently a portion of their tuition is dedicated to separate scholarship funds and such that are out there. And they go for those good purposes, but if we're concerned about where our knee grants are in relationship to those that don't have access to our system and perhaps the level of tuition increases, and there's an opportunity, if that LFO work up some numbers, opportunity to reduce maybe some of the fee remissions and see if we can't gain some money to offset some of the, again, the knee grants or the level of tuition hikes. So
and is that, pardon me, Mr. Chair?
Yes, Representative.
And is that controlled at the local university level?
Yeah, this, is there's a system-wide limitation on the amount of fee remissions that can be awarded, and that is distributed to campuses where there's then...
Well, is that part of any budget that we'll be looking at, or is that something that...
Representative Smith, maybe we, that's item number 8, fee remissions on the LFO recommendation. We'll get into the detail on that at that time.
That would be fine, thank you.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
If I may ask you to look on your yellow sheets here at item 7. This is the one that we've been, talking about. And this is a recommendation that you approve an other funds limitation increase of $26.9 million to allow expenditures of projected tuition and fee revenue, given a 4% fee increase for everyone during the first year of the biennium and a 3% fee increase for the second year of the biennium. I do want to mention one thing about the fees. The governor in his original budget looked at a 4% increase, but the State Board of Higher Education, since that budget was announced, has approved allowing campuses to raise their tuitions by up to between 2 and 5% per year in each of the 2 years of the biennium. They did that before they were aware of the $31.3 million being available in additional funding under this budget. But by the limitation of a 4 to 3% fee increase, tuition increase, would be, you know, somewhat less than a 5 and a 5%, which under current State Board of Higher Ed rules, campuses are allowed to introduce. We are actually, LFO is not recommending that this legislature do anything to affect the State Board of Higher Education's authority and statute to approve tuitions. In fact, you really couldn't do that in this budget. You need a statutory bill to do that. What we are instead recommending is give the system the limitation it needs for a 4% and a 3%. And then, if I may refer you to the back to the budget note list, you know, we are recommending a budget note relating to tuition policy, which is on page 2, the third item. I hope you've got those, Bill. Okay. And that would be the following. We would request that you adopt this budget note saying the subcommittee finds that a 4% tuition increase for all students during the first year of the biennium and a 3% tuition increase in the second year, along with the general fund appropriation in this bill, would provide the education and general program with sufficient funds to maintain current services and address rising costs. The subcommittee expects, therefore, that tuition increases in excess of these amounts will not be applied generally to students in any of the institutions of the Oregon University system. If any institution adopts a general tuition increase exceeding these rates of increase, the department and each institution adopting such an increase shall report to the emergency board to explain the reason and need for the increase. The tuition increases, four tuition increases exceeding 4% for the 2001-02 academic year. The report shall be presented to the emergency board at its first meeting after the implementation of the tuition increase. So that would be the fall meeting of the emergency board. For tuition increases exceeding 3% for the 2002-03 academic year, the report shall be presented to the emergency board prior to the implementation of the tuition increase. So under the board's authority, campuses would maintain the authority to impose tuition increases of up to 5% per year, but if they choose to do so, they would be required to come to the emergency board and to explain to the emergency board why they are doing so.
Okay, any questions about the tuition policy? Representative Schrader.
I guess I'd like to move the enrollment growth, package 120, with the modifications outlined by LFO and the designations on our blue sheet dated 6/21/01, outlining what the restoration of the $65 million in cuts would be, and the also approve the tuition policy as outlined by LFO with the 4% and 3% fund some of the $35 million in enhancements outlined by LFO in the blue sheet, and also increase their other fund limitations so that they can accommodate some of the committee's interests with regard to the tuition.
Representative Schrader has moved the LFO recommendation number 4 on the yellow sheet, and then also the budget note tuition policy. Now that's a budget. Okay. Is there anything else we need in that motion, or is that covered?
I believe, Representative, did your motion also include recommendation 7?
Yes, that's correct. It included the recommendation 4, recommendation 7, and then the budget note on tuition policy.
Everybody understand the motion? Is there any discussion? Any disagreement, objection? Representative Senator Miller. Senator Miller, did you wish
to? Yeah, I wish to be recorded as a no.
Okay. The clerk will call the roll.
Representative Schrader?
Yeah.
Representative Close?
Both no.
Representative Hoxton?
Aye.
Representative Smith?
No.
Okay.
Senator Close?
Aye.
Senator Miller?
No.
Chair Close?
Yeah. The chair will exercise his prerogative and not continue the vote until we have full membership back. Not sure that's allowed, but
you can read it. You can read it.
I'll try it anyway.
Under the sine die is eminent.
You can recess, and Shirley may want to call the floor for Representative Winters.
Please.